Yeah, so, yeah, here's, we do have our follow-up time. So, yeah, go ahead, Lori. You comment on whatever's on your mind.
Well, just looking back over it, this little chapter, which I want to read again, because I know it's just too important. There are different phases of the Christian life. You know, there's the phase, like I remember years ago, where I was just, and most of us here in the 80s were just seeking God and getting knowledge and getting grounded in His Word. And and so now, you know, 30 years later, I can't say that that's where I am. It's a different phase, and it's a phase of all of that, which was paramount, and everybody needs to get that foundation. We're not all in at the same place at all times, you know, because there's young ones, there's middle, and there's older, but now it's just all that Sparks was saying, it's just the training, and I'm not saying that there wasn't training back then either, but it wasn't characterized as much as it is today by learning to live by His life. In fact, if you don't, you won't make it through. You'll quit, you know. And physically, even physically as we get older, it's like, wow, I just don't have the energy, I don't have the stamina that I used to, but I can live by His life, and I can fight to lay hold of that life. So to me, this was so practical. And it also talked about just being content where you are, not wanting to get out of here, but being here and saying and seeing God's sovereignty in it, that this is no mistake that the situation is the way it is, that the circumstances are this way. We are in the hand of God, and He's using it to train us and to, of course, conform us to Christ's image, but to train us to rule and reign, and that everything matters, our daily ins and outs and doings, and to not think that the grass is greener somewhere else, you know, with a different assembly, with a different roommate, different husband, different whatever, you know, that God has us right where He wants us. And then when He said that world rulers of this darkness is no meaningless phrase, it is there that the trouble lies. And until there is in existence that which can touch things there with the authority of Christ, the situation for the church is hopeless. So there needs to be some portion of the church, you know, in various places, remnant groups of the church of the Lord's people who are bringing the authority of Christ to bear upon principalities and powers that are in there, you know, that have a stronghold there, because it just can't be us, it's others too. I think about that Middle Eastern situation and that house of blessing and how they are taking authority, they are overcoming. So, you know, the church is hopeless. We're not any different than anyone else unless this is a daily reality and corporately as well as individually.
My mind goes to the book I'm reading, The Day of Thy Power. He talks about Moses' training in one of the chapters. And when it came to the deliverance of the children of Israel, what did it take for God to train this individual Moses to become an instrument of His deliverance? And there came a point where when the deliverance was required, how did God manifest His power to bring redemption to Israel? Did God divide the Red Sea? He sure did. How did He do it? Moses, what's that in your hand? With that rod in his hand, the Red Sea opened up, the rod of authority. And he talked about how that authority was vested in that man, and how that rod was used. And what was the rod? It was a shepherd's rod. He was a shepherd. He was on the backside of the desert for 40 years and just doing the common things. You think about David, just a shepherd learning how to protect his father's assets. And then when a lion and a bear came, he was loyal to his father by protecting that which was valuable to them. And he defeated the... He killed the bear and the lion just to protect his father's sheep. And so here's a shepherd who's in training to become a king. And so we don't know what the future is. But if we take seriously where we are right now, that there is an investment that God has made in us in terms of what he's imparted and what we're, the work we're involved with, and seeing the fruit that has come out of it in terms of breaking down and exposing and breaking this Jebusite fortress, we may not have actually come into that venue, that place that he's been preparing us. In other words, all that which we've gone through may be preparing us for something of a completely different venue. So we just continue on with what we're doing. We're investing in this convocation and trusting the Lord will work into us that which is the heart of the message, and that is the cross, the church, and the kingdom. The kingdom means the rule and reign of God right now in his church. The kingdom represents the rule of God. And Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. So what is the kingdom? The basileia. It's the rule of God through his king. Basileia is kingdom. Basileus is king. And so, to reign is basileo. These are the terms that are used. And so, as we come to learn more and more kingdom reality, that is, God is king, but he rules over us and in us through Jesus Christ as our king, as our Lord, as our high priest. And he does so in and by the indwelling Holy Spirit, because he is present. So king means that for him to rule, he has to be Lord. And we can keep short accounts with him when there's that in our lives that are not in alignment with his lordship, with his revealed will and the word of God. We adjust. We let go. And we submit to him. So any other thoughts or comments?
Yeah.
There's talk about, you know, believers that you would not give them a second thought. They don't seem to count for much, you know, that whole paragraph in there. And there's something that you cannot explain by the personality or lack of it, by their physical presence or by their training. There is no ground on which you can explain this, and yet you have to acknowledge that they count for something. It is spiritual influence. A people constituted like that are the only people to meet the emergency of this time. Such a people will be the instrument by which God will vindicate the cross of Christ. And that made me think about Watchman Nee and his book, where he's talking about how the Christians, when the communists came in, were taking over, and then they would bring the Christians before a mass crowd of people, and they were accusation meetings, basically, and they'd round up a bunch of Christians and bring them in, and basically these other Christians had to bring accusations against the ones standing on the stage, and a lot of them would do that just to have food to eat and to keep their jobs and so forth. And one thing that stood out to me is how he said that there were prominent church leaders and people in ministry that you would have thought would be the forerunners. I mean, they would stand strong. And they were some of the first to cave. They were the out front people. And then there'd be these little nobodies. Like this one lady, I think they wouldn't even serve the communion table to her for, you know, they had brought a request, you know, they had to answer questions before they'd be able to do this. And she didn't have the spiritual, like, the words to share. But she was one of the people God used to supply for him when he was in prison to bring him, bring things to him. So it's like, I think God's value of a person is obviously so different than what we see in a person. He sees that innermost part of a person, and I don't know why, but when I read this, that made me think of Watchman Nee. And we don't know who those people are that when the test comes, I think we're going to be surprised at some person that comes out of the woodwork, and then another person that we might think may not stand the test. So it's really a challenge to me.
Okay. Well, Father, we want to acknowledge your grace, and we thank you for giving us an opportunity to be mentored and be instructed and to consider that which will bring us into a greater level of fruitfulness, knowing Christ is our life. And so we do commit to you that which the work is still in us as an assembly to bring us to the place where we are coordinated in a more effective way under the headship of Jesus Christ, so we don't have any members that are lame, any members that are out of joint, any members that are atrophied, but each individual coming into more vital union with you, so that together under your headship, Lord Jesus, you would have freedom of movement to articulate yourself in a way that gives you the freedom to move in and through us in ways that our time, to where we are now, you've been limited or obstructed in some way. So we want to dedicate what we're looking at and what we're considering at this time for you to instruct us, to adjust us, so that you would have the freedom to articulate yourself as the head of this local assembly in ways that only you know and that you've been waiting for. And so, Lord, we don't want to keep you waiting. We want to be in step and in sync with you and with one another, as you are becoming more and more the governing Lord and ruler and source of our life and character. We pray in Jesus' name.